Modern technology allows me to communicate as never before. Texts, tweets, Facebook, mobile phone messages. My phone even talks back.
You have no new text messages.
And then there's a huge mountain of email, including this one saying Sir Victor Blank wants me to make a piece for his programme. I'm not quite clear what it's about, so let's get him on the phone.
Calling Victor Blank. Work.
Well, Rory, technology is a massive aid to everything we do in our communications with each other. But if it takes away completely regular face-to-face or direct conversation, then you lose something of the softer edges. I don't want to sound like Neanderthal man, because I'm not, but I just think it's so important to keep some balance between the two.
Right, I think I've got it. And Sir Victor has suggested I see the former editor of The Times, Lord Rees-Mogg, who shares some of his concerns.
So I've brought with me an iPad with The Times on it. I just wonder what your reaction to that was.
I think it's a rather handsome layout.
Lord Rees-Mogg says he would use modern methods if he were editing the paper today, but he does feel they have downsides.
Well, I think that people can become addicted to these methods. I do notice very definitely that emails are often fired off without any real consideration. They're also much ruder than more considered communications. I think face-to-face communication is extremely important.
Let's use modern technology to speak to someone who's studied its impact, Monica Bulger of the Oxford Internet Institute.
Hello, Rory.
Hello, Monica. Now,
Dr. Bulger told me that in one respect, new forms of communication had made executives like Sir Victor Blank more literate.
Prior to having word processors, for example, executives would dictate messages, letters, memos, and would primarily speak on the phone. So the common use of computers is actually increasing our literacy from that respect.
She also believes that face-to-face meetings can be the source of more misunderstandings than email.
Actually, email, on the flip side, gives you an opportunity to consider your message and consider what you're about to say. You can sort of do the count to 10 rule and think a bit before you respond.
Mind you, email itself is now looking old hat to some.
Email has just become the easy way for people to communicate, but it's also a lazy way for people to communicate.
Rob Price of the technology firm Atos, which is banning in-house email, partly because the Facebook generation prefers more instant forms of communication.
As we recruit more and more, as we grow more people into the organisation, they want to, they expect to communicate in different ways, the ways in which they communicate in their personal and their university careers.
But what's the evidence that young people communicate any better than, say, I did at university, way before the age of the mobile phone? I went to find out.
Hello.
I asked my student's son to go and fetch some friends.
What are you doing?
I'm texting.
Why didn't you just go and call him?
One's upstairs, one's downstairs.
And once Rowan and Dave had joined us in Adam's room, I wanted to know just how they managed to communicate.
Just bumping into people. Oxford's a small place. Texting, because it's virtually free. But aside from that, don't really use social networking.
For distant stuff, I'd say it's a lot easier using any form of technology to do it rather than sort of having to go all the way there. But when you're sort of close to each other, I think most people generally still put in the effort to socialise face-to-face.
You use social networking and modern technology to arrange meeting people face-to-face when otherwise you might not have seen them for a few weeks. You might not have happened to bump into them and say you wouldn't see them at all.
So you're saying it's an addition, not a replacement?
Exactly, yeah.
But maybe Sir Victor does have a point. Sometimes more technology doesn't mean more communication. What's my name?
I don't know who you are.
You are an idiot.